Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, June 2nd, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I always say that a bit differently every day. You know, you'd think that I'd have it down where I would say the title of the show the same every day, but no, it seems I do it a little differently every single day. That's my creative side, but can't really stick to one I like the most. I have a full panel, roundtable as usual, folks. We have Stephen Douglas Weitender here, the host of Thought Crime Live. That's, of course, Saturdays. You should be checking that out if you aren't already checking it out. Stephen, welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me, Richard. Howdy, y'all. Glad to be here. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And, of course, on RBN time, Central U.S. sets 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., 8 a.m. Central, Thought Crime Live Saturdays. And, well, Stephen, did you have any plans for tomorrow, since we're on that topic?
My tentative plans, which I think will follow through, is I'm going to have the same guest returning as last week, Casey Whalen, with an update on the stuff that he was investigating. He has a copy of one of those reports that this Operation Smedley had been spreading around DAs and police officers, sheriffs, and he has that report. He's going to talk about some, as well as his mentor, Vicki Davis, her brain as well, kind of along the same lines. It's kind of like a part two of last week at this point.
And Casey Whalen has been on that same slot, interviewed by Farron, he said, in the past as well. So,
sir, he has. And he's been on your show a couple of times, as well as talking with me. He's the spokesman, will I say? I'll say spokesman for peoplesrights.org. If you are interested in that, send the word rights to the word 80123. And if I got that wrong, I'm sure Casey will text me and correct me, but I think it's 80123 or 321. I believe it's 123, the word rights, and they will send you all their information. Or just go online to peoplesrights.org, and it explains it in detail.
Fabulous. Well, yeah, no, that's a good choice for a guest when you do have a guest. Of course, you've been doing a good news roundup so far. In the tradition of Farron as well, when you've done solo shows, those are excellent as well.
I do plan to get back to that after. I have three guests in a row lined
up. Sure.
Get back to that. So thank you very much for that too, sir. Thanks for having me again.
I didn't mean the long tangent there, but no, we have the rest of the panel here as well. Sorry, listeners. We do have Paul in California here in the studio today. Paul, a welcome, sir, and how's your week been going? I know you had a move on Tuesday. You didn't make it because you were actually, that's very stressful. I mean, obviously, I moved last summer, and it's always crazy.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I don't like moving. I don't mind relocating and seeing different vistas now and then, but yeah, just going through all your possessions and all your papers and books and effects and making decisions, getting rid of stuff, it's torment. But otherwise, glad to be here, Richard. Thanks for having me, and look forward to today's discussion. I have some material whenever you're ready.
Okay, yeah, no, looking forward to that. We also have with us today, folks, none other than William Rapillum, the host of the Punch Bowl Friday nights, and then he's also, of course, on the National Intel Report with the Wednesday National Intel slot. And then, so what, let's see, 5 p.m. that is Central Wednesday, and it's 9 p.m. Friday nights Central. William, welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, and also on Thursday nights with Jeremy in plain sight. We have a lot of fun there, except when Paul calls in and he always spoils all the fun all the time.
Yeah, that's why I'm never going to have my own show.
Well, Paul, hey, why don't you let us hear these articles?
Well, you know, I've been going through, you know, I've kept a lot of newspapers over the years. It's just one of those things that I do. I would say it borders on hoarding, but not so bad. Usually it's things that I see that are interest to me, and sometimes I'll keep entire papers, sometimes I'll just keep sections. So anyway, I just came across four or five things, and what's interesting, pardon me, I got to clear my throat. that should be better. Is I come across things that are just, like, shall we say, timeless, and especially because of what we're looking at today, right? So here's one. All these are at least 10 years old or older. Some of the dates are not exact, but I do have some. Here's one. DA, evidence strong against suspected JCC hate caller, okay? So a Santa Clara County Superior Judge ruled yesterday that prosecutors had enough evidence to charge a San Jose security guard with making threatening calls to the Jewish Community Center in Palo Alto. Kevin Riley, blah, 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 28, is behind bars. Here's the important part. Is behind bars on $1 million bail since his arrest August 13th on charges that he made three hate calls to the Albert L. Schultz Jewish Community Center. The last call, made August 11th, applauded the actions of a white supremacist who opened fire on a Jewish center in the suburb of Granada Hills near Los Angeles. O'Keefe faces 3 years in state prison if convicted of the felony, and an additional 3 years if convicted of a hate crime, said Deputy District Attorney Aaron Persky. The evidence against O'Keefe, including phone records, is strong, said Persky. Whether he'll be convicted or not is based more on legal aspects than actual factual constraints, said Persky, the DA. The statute we've charged him under walks the line between criminal misconduct and someone's First Amendment. That's what the court will have to evaluate. So consider that for the moment of what this guy was charged with. Made some phone calls, didn't hurt anybody, and his bail is $1 million. And, of course, I don't have to talk about all the blacks that commit actual crimes, in many cases, with property or personal injury. And they're,
Can I interrupt you? And point out, you said this was 10 years ago you're reading about.
Right. This might not be 10 years. Could be a little bit more. I'm not sure when that shooting took place.
You started out saying, wow, it was that way 10 years ago? I just thought that was worth it. Mention again, and I apologize for interrupting you, sir. Please go ahead.
No. All right, so here's another one. This one here is definitely more than 10 years ago. Many of us here might remember the famous Atlanta Braves pitcher John Rocker, okay, who should be president of the United States. Anyway, this is the headline from the San Francisco Chronicle. Rocker to have head examined. That's the headline, okay? Rocker to have head examined. Bud Selig orders psychological tests for Braves pitcher. And then just briefly from the article, John Rocker was ordered by baseball to undergo psychological tests before deciding whether to punish the outspoken relief pitcher for remarks he made disparaging gays, minorities, and immigrants. And it just goes on about, you know, the various things that they said and what the reaction of the so-called community, including Major League Baseball, blah, blah, blah. But here's the funny part, okay? It goes on. Apparently, there was a reporter interviewing him, riding around with him, right? And during this comments to apparently a Sports Illustrated reporter last month, Rocker said he would never play for a New York team because he didn't want to ride a train, quote, next to some queer with AIDS. He also bashed immigrants, saying, quote, I'm not a very big fan of foreigners. How the hell did they get in this country? Also, while driving during the interview, Rocker spit out the window at a toll machine and mocked an Asian driver, saying, look at this idiot. I guarantee you she's an Asian. Why are the Asians and the women so bad at driving? He also allegedly called a black teammate a, quote, fat monkey. Rocker later apologized and said he was not, quote, racist, but several advocacy groups and said the written apology and baseball's action was not enough. So, anyway, that's a day in my life, what Rocker just did there.
I remember Rocker. At the year, my dad used to watch Braves, so I have heard that before, Paul. Isn't that ridiculous?
Here's another one, just quickly. I got one more to go after this, and then we'll throw it all around to the panel for discussion, but I thought these were enjoyable. This is a headline, San Francisco Chronicle, from reprinting a Los Angeles Times article. Asian Americans perceived as foreign, U.S. study says. Well, apparently they had to do a study. It says a 507-page study titled, quote, "The State of Asian Pacific America Transforming Race Relations," and blah, blah, blah. They basically perceived that the majority of people thought that Asians and so-called Asian Americans were foreigners. Imagine that. All right. Quickly, here's one you guys will like. This was from August 21st, 2002, from a study. Quote, "Hispanics watch more TV," study says. "Hispanics watch more television than the population at large. Nationwide, Hispanics spent 58 hours a week in front of the television set, 4.4 hours more than non-Hispanics." And it goes on to talk about their preferences. And would it surprise you that they enjoy animated shows and other network programming? All right. Here's the last one. Okay. This here, I'm not going to tell you the date of this, but when I tell you the date, you're going to say, like, oh, my God, what's changed? This is a letter to the editor, right, again, from the San Francisco Chronicle. And it's the title of it is United States Misguided Policies on Immigrants. The January 13th article about a class action lawsuit against the Arizona Border Patrol for, quote, "routinely and repeatedly pulling over Latino motorists for the sole reason that they appear to be Mexican and to investigate their immigrant status is discrimination against people of color. The anti-immigrant camp has provided no credible evidence that reducing immigration will solve our country's problems." Now, imagine that statement right there. This is what she says in the letter to the editor. Yes, it's a woman. "The anti-immigrant camp has provided no credible evidence that reducing immigration will solve our country's problems." Wow. To continue, two more paragraphs. "These agitators have been exposed as an arm of the extreme right, yet our government has gone ahead and militarized the border and sent legions of INS agents to hunt down and deport people. In the course of this misguided campaign, law enforcement agents have trampled on the rights not only of, quote, people without documents, but on legal residents and U.S.-born citizens who are targeted for no other reason than the color of their skin." Oh, my God, imagine the outrage. Final paragraph. "Looking back at the Spanish Inquisition or the Salem witch trials today, we wonder how governments could have been so ignorant and cruel. Will future Americans judge the anti-immigrant campaigns of the 1990s? Signed, Melanie Okamoto, Political Ecology Group, San Francisco. So not only does a woman write this, but a foreign Asian woman, and this was written in 1999. So this has been going on a while, my friends.
Well, let me
shift. Oy vey.
Well, for comment, let me shift things to William.
Oy vey. Yeah, that was good. Good stuff, Paul. What your the first article that you mentioned? Can you refresh me a little bit on that one? What was the source?
Okay, so this was from the local paper. There's a paper actually called the Daily News. It's distributed throughout the San Francisco Peninsula. It's one of those small local papers, and it's about this caller, okay, this guy named O'Keefe, a security guard, who apparently called three different times to this Jewish community center and made, quote, hateful calls. It doesn't say that he made any particular threats. They characterize it as threatening hate calls, but they don't articulate the threats in the article. But they basically say that he faces 3 years in prison if convicted of the felony, whatever felony that is, and an additional 3 years if convicted of a hate crime. And he was held on $1 million bail, which, of course, in light of what you're seeing today, and, I mean, we've all seen the headlines all across the Internet of all these black criminals and other sorts of criminals being let out on their own recognizance or the most ridiculously low bails for, in many cases, crimes that involved violence, for example. And so here's a guy did nothing to nobody, and he's held on $1 million bail. And it just reminds me of... Yes, go ahead.
Paul, what I wanted to know was, what's the headline to the story? I'm trying to find it. I'm looking it up.
The headline says, DA, the initial DA, evidence strong against suspected JCC hate caller. Oh, my God. computer okay. computer research on the air, Richard. I don't know if that's part of the show.
And Stephen, you're welcome to jump in if you wanted to comment.
Since we have a little dead air here, I'll fill in a little bit more.
Boom, mute. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just what it reminds me of is a story that William Pierce covered on one of his broadcasts way back in the day, and it took place in Montana, one of the cities there. I forget which one. And apparently there was some two or three Hispanic guys hanging out at a park, and a couple of white guys, I think there might have been three white guys, basically said, hey, this is a white people's park. You know, you guys need to go, right? They basically just ran them out. Didn't touch them. Didn't assault them, okay? And the local prosecutors, since there was no, injuries, threat of harm, threat of injuries, that sort of a thing, just go like, hey, this is White People's Park, get out of here. They basically intimidated these Hispanic guys out of this park in Montana, of all places, right? So the local DA decided not to prosecute it. But as William Pierce covered in the story, that a federal prosecutor decided to pick up the case, charge them with a hate crime, set an extremely high bail, and after many, many, many months incarcerated, right, because they couldn't make the bail, they agreed to a plea bargain, and one of them was sentenced to nearly 10 years, you know, another was sentenced to like 8 years and so on. So this has been the state of our affairs for multiple decades now, and as part of my ongoing contention, it's not going to let up, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I did take some notes on that. One of the things you mentioned was how that guy in that first story that you mentioned is not going to be held back by factual constraints. But I forgot what the other...
I'll give you the exact line. According to the DA, it said, whether he'll be convicted is based more on legal aspects than factual constraints, whatever that means. The statute we've charged him under walks the line between criminal misconduct and someone's First Amendment. So that's what the court will have to evaluate. So here's a DA, and we all know, by the way, the DAs decline cases all the time because even real crimes, they decline cases all the time because they just are not sure they're going to get a conviction, and they don't want to take it to trial if they're going to lose. Okay, that's the kind of a... you know, what you call the bar for a lot of DAs. They basically take stuff and take it to trial when they're very, very certain of a win. So here's this guy saying, well, whether or not he'll be convicted or not, I don't know. Depends on what the judge says, because it walks in line between, quote, criminal misconduct and someone's First Amendment rights. Meanwhile, this guy is out of work. You know, he'll probably have trouble getting a job again, and he's being held on $1 million bail for making phone calls. So that's our country.
Yeah, held on $1 million bail just for making phone calls.
And John Rocker needs to have his head examined.
That's infuriating, y'all. It just, that it took it a moment.
Let me tell you something. I have boxes. I mean, not just one stack. I have boxes of newspapers where these themes are repeated over and over and over again. Literally, we could do shows from here to Kingdom Come, which is the newspapers that I've saved over the last 25 to 30 years.
Yes,
yes, indeed. Well, stick around for these messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back, folks.
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my panelists, Stephen Douglas Whitener, Paul in California, William Rapillum. Stephen, you wanted to make another little plug, if you would, please.
Yes, thanks very much for allowing me to do this, Richard. I wanted to let all the listeners know that tonight on Mike Gatt, well, of course, you have William Rapillum's red punch. Is it? I don't know if it's the red pill punch bowl, or but the red bowl punch bowl that he does.
The punch bowl. I know it's the punch bowl.
Yes, sir. From 10 to 11. Also this evening from 5 until 7 Central, Mike Gatty will have Blackbird 9 on, and they'll be discussing deeper. They'll delve even deeper into the lies and distortions of history they've been taught, especially concerning World War II and such. And I'll be on, like you said, Thought Crime Live, 8 a.m. in the morning, and then Mr. Gatty from 3 to 5 in the afternoon with Rebel Madman Radio on RBN tomorrow. Thanks for letting me mention that, Richard. I appreciate you. And thanks for having me on the panel, too. I always enjoy doing these roundtables, especially with my old pals that we go back at least 7 years, I think.
Certainly.
And yeah, so, thank you, Stephen. No, thank you, Stephen, for mentioning, and Richard, for mentioning the Punch Bowl tonight at 9 Central. And you're absolutely right, Stephen. I think the red pill, we got to get rid of all that superfluous wording in the name of the show. Mike, can we just make it William Rapillum's Punch Bowl? All right, there it is. It's settled now.
Cool. Okay. And I mean,
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, to give you a punch with the presentation, with the information, with the perspectives, you know, and a bull, like a variety, a cavalcade, it has good implications. And yeah, just that short and sweet, it does ring a bell. I could say more.
Red.
Yeah.
Usually.
But I could mention more about the economy, but it's tanking. We've all been hearing about that. You know, let's see, NASDAQ to Russell 2000 ratio, the most stretched since the dot-com bubble. A lot of other countries are insulating themselves from the U.S. Federal Reserve. How long can banks sit on enormous unrealized losses? We know that student loan forgiveness plan, if they were ever considering doing it for real, was canceled, was stopped. And yeah, there's just going to be, of course, just more exacerbated. Not that I mean, you know, bailing out the banks is a big problem. Okay, yeah, no, maybe you shouldn't. They took out those loans they shouldn't have if they didn't know what they were getting into. Well, that's fine, but you shouldn't. What about the bailouts for the bankers? That's a bigger crime, a bigger thing to complain about, honestly. Why not college being free for everyone, and these bankers the ones to focus on for that matter? Bill Gates' farmland is coincidentally over huge underground water reservoirs, underground rivers. It turns out a large amount of the farmland he owns now in the U.S. How convenient that he strategically bought land. Now, come on, most people wouldn't have the technology to know. So, you know, it's just something that people are complaining about. The idea he has all that land is a well, you know, what can you do with this out of control capitalism and constant expansionary system? You know, but yeah, so there's plenty from all these sources about the economy, a nation of junkies, the empty future of a stimulus speculation economy is another title. The AI, they're trying to overblow this. I just want to say, okay, AI controlled drone goes rogue, kills human operator in simulated U.S. Air Force test. We're just hearing about. And so this is more trying to make you think that AI is really a threat. I mean, sure, an incident may have happened, but, you know, it doesn't mean that it has any consciousness. Just people are being stupid in their infrastructure. Native-born workers tumble by 369,000 as foreign-born workers soar to record high. And we just heard about that Danish study. You know, a net lifetime sort of a result to the economy with all these foreign workers. It doesn't stimulate the economy. That's the biggest lie out there.
Well, I will just quickly interject. This is not anything that's not been known for a very long time. This talk was online, articles were online back in the 90s about the net loss of immigrants here and in Europe. You know, they don't really, quote, contribute, even though, you know, you could make the case that they were paid higher wages, maybe they could indeed contribute based on, you know, tax revenue. But having said that, many places in Europe, the average immigrant family has almost no working adults. So how does that work? In other words, if in Germany, this is well known, that a lot of these Turkish families living in Germany had zero working adults in the household.
Yeah, and it's only the Western European countries and America with all the handouts that there is. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my roundtable panelists, Paul in California, William Rapillum, and Stephen Douglas Weitener. Here we have Shades of Event 201. A World Health Organization member wants to run a simulation exercise before implementing the pandemic treaty. They want to run this exercise to see that it would really be effective. And, it just totally reminds me of this simulation with Event 201, so convenient and similar to everything that followed once we had this alleged Wuhan outbreak of alleged COVID-19. But I really don't want to go off on a tangent on that. I just wanted to mention the article. This other article here, this was out of Activist Post. Despite massive backlash and resistance, LAPD implements robot police dogs. That's right, the U.S. This was out of RT originally. The Los Angeles City Council has authorized the use of a robotic, quote-unquote, dog device by the local police department, despite protests from residents and some dissenting council members. New York previously unveiled similar tech based a major public backlash. So they voted 8-4 on Tuesday, approved it. And it doesn't seem like it has big, like menacing jaws or sawtooth, robot teeth or anything like that. So, what fun is it, right? But I don't know. Let's hear the panel's thoughts on using, you know, these sort of machines to try to corral the sheeple, as it were. William, would you like to comment on this backlash and resistance to the LAPD implementing robot police dogs? Okay, William is not here at the moment. How ironic.
Oh, I am here. I'm sorry, Richard. I was on mute. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to start piecemeal rolling it out in different places, experimenting, trying it out, see how what the public reaction is to it, try to garner more and more acceptance of this. They're going to, you know, they need to eventually... They got to start with this, and then they got to build up, keep building up to what's known as a super soldier at some point when they have that ready to go. And that's, you know, I don't know if they're going to send robot dogs to people's houses to collect their guns or whatever, but they will be working towards doing that. So, you know, the more that the Jews can, you know, farm out their dirty work to robots, you know, and to supersede any rights anybody has, you know, the better for Jews and satanic Judaism that it is, which has taken over the world already.
Stephen.
Hold on. Okay. Sorry, folks. The screen's a bit sticky. And yeah, robot, that could be a possible.
Get together,
Stephen. All right. I'm here. It could be a possible scenario. I mean, that sounds science fictionish, but no, it could be easily equipped with the technology it would need to use like radar, you know, penetrating radar to distinguish certain shaped metal objects that it was searching for, and, you know, be tough enough and stubborn enough to where it would just go in and grab what if it had to go through the wall. It would be basically a Terminator at that point, right? Just like that movie, The Terminator. Now, I don't know about the liquid metal in the Terminator 2 stuff, but, you know, those dogs, you kick them. I've seen they can climb trees, man. You know, they're very sturdy. You knock them over, they get right back up. And I'm sure they could get aggressive. I've seen videos of a lot of them. I've seen them dancing in all kinds of weird, you know, choreographed things.
I don't trust those. I really don't.
You don't trust the videos
Yeah, exactly. I think that they're
And it could be generated. Yeah. What makes you say that? What evidence points to it?
Well, I mean, the fact that...
Tell me, yeah.
Well, there's no evidence, but it's just the fact that so many things are based on the idea that they want us to be afraid.
Right. So, I like what you're there, yes.
And they're committing these staged you know, shootings and hoaxes and, you know, everything. I mean, the TV news is a lie, right? Movies.
Absolutely. No disagreement there, sir.
Yeah, brainwashing, programming, blah, blah, blah. So, like I said, I'm distrustful of any videos showing how super advanced these so-called robots are, especially when they're doing some kind of these superhuman, you know, gymnastic-type moves. I'd have to see it in person to believe it.
Yeah.
Well,
probably could. I don't know if it's California or not. So where DARPA has a facility, I know a few places where they test run those things and put them on display. But I have never seen one in person, honestly. Although I've read about some of them coming here locally, too. Well, I'll have to search that out again. It's a possibility I may be able to find one here within, you know, between here in Atlanta and Charlotte. But
and Stephen, do you have the same impression I do of AI advancements being heavily exaggerated?
Oh, yes, the NASA, it's the moonshot. That's part. Well, I won't say just that, but I mean, it's the NASA program, and, you know, the Neuralink is the moonshot of this particular.
Well, I don't see how you could ever have some sentient being based with that. If you uploaded someone's consciousness, perhaps, is that for a starting point? But I don't know. It doesn't really seem, there's some essence missing, and I'm not getting necessarily spiritual here, implying a soul necessarily per se, but the whole sentient being quality of consciousness.
Hopefully they'll give it a dog consciousness, so we could have like little doggy treats, you know, like pepperoni and doggy biscuits, and then we could distract it, and that might work.
Funny you talk about that, because there is a there is a couple of call cues loaded, folks. Let's see, Patrick in Texas. Patrick.
Hi, thank you much, Richard. There's a very famous case, Erie versus Tompkins, 1938. The case was a decision based upon a public policy. All decisions at any level since 1938 have been public policy decisions. All statutes, rules, regulations, and procedures that have been passed, either civil or criminal, whether it is federal or state, have all been passed to implement public policy. As a bankruptcy of 1933, when FDR came into office. And, it sounds crazy, you know, going into bankruptcy, but who is the trustees? I mean, who is it that we were in bankruptcy to? But, Jim Traficant got on the floor and says, Mr. Speaker, we are in Chapter 11, and our trustees are here. Now, whenever you go into bankruptcy, act like a drunken sailor and spending, but they can liquidate. And that's what the 1933 FDR was, the bankruptcy president. And he came in there, that was his job, and he stole the gold and implemented all this fraud here, this public policy. And just something to think about. I'm not going to go up now too much detail, but just gives you an idea how much fraud and where it all come from. This bankruptcy, these Jews, the FDR, and the Geneva Convention, that was actually just a big bankruptcy for all of the G5. And I thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Patrick, do you have Twitter or Telegram? Is it possible you could send that to me on either one of those? And if it's not there, I'll put an email.
Stephen, I've received emails from Patrick. I could forward you his email.
Yeah.
As far as what he addressed, though, is there something
I was thinking that Mike Rivero yesterday went over several different incidents when the U.S. had, quote, technically, how he put it, defaulted on our debt already, one of them being during the War of 1812, and then, of course, there are other times, too, that 33, and then I wish Mike Gaddy could tell you the details, ins and outs. Mm-hmm. Mike Caro mentioned it yesterday, and he brings up a lot of good points that somebody's saying. That Biden's saying we have never defaulted on SLI.
Paul, would you like to comment on Patrick's call?
Well, yeah, this is an old topic, and it's actually several shows in and of itself. It's Mike Gaddy type or Ralph Winterowl type material, and so on and so on. So, it's a little kind of off track. I will just say this: it's all interesting. I studied this stuff quite a bit for several years, back around 2015, 16, and it's in the end, it doesn't matter. I mean, they can say whatever they want about the law and the code and the bankruptcy and blah blah blah. There's a group that has power, and they're wielding the power against us. And all the other, discussion about law is, in my opinion, moot.
William? Would you like to comment?
No, I don't have anything to add there.
Okay. Joe in Florida. Joe.
Hey, Richard, William, Stephen, Paul, how are you? Good to talk to all of you. Maybe they shock him, but I actually agree with Paul on that fundamental point about AI. And that is, what is it? It's the thing we're supposed to be afraid of, right? It's interesting to me that the mainstream media, when they rolled this out, how did they roll this out? They didn't say, oh, here's AI and here's what we claim it is, sentient being or super intelligent, whatever. They rolled it out by saying, okay, it's super intelligent, but... scientists or people, the leaders are afraid of the power that it has. Right? That's the first thing they say, right? It's being introduced. And the first thing you have to know about this is that certain really important people are afraid of its power and it can't be contained. In my mind, this is like a Jewish God, right? This is the God that the Jews create. If you look at the Satan. Sorry?
I said, thank you, Joe. Yes, you're making good points here.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, Paul. And I mentioned on Jeremy's show last night, I think William was on it, they played a clip from the, I call him a satanic sodomite leader, that Harari, I can't even say his first name, who's like their, you know, it's like
Yuval.
Their Yuval, right? They're Jewish Pope of this new religion, and the God is AI, and oh, he's so powerful, and he's going to take over control, he or it, or whatever it is. It's just like another Jewish God that they're trying to challenge the real God with. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think you're spot on. I like what you guys are saying about the whole scare tactic behind the whole thing and how they keep doing fear porn with all of it, and they keep coming out and using the language, the fear language, and get everybody to be afraid and intimidated. I'm never going to stop talking. I'll just do it until I'm dead. I'm never going to stop telling the truth.
Yeah, it should be giveaway. Sorry.
Well, no,
I was going to say it's a dead giveaway when they introduce something right away and they say you have to be afraid of it. You know, it's like COVID. Oh, here's the thing. Be deadly afraid. It's going to kill you. It's, you know, it's like death. 900 million people are going to die in 10 minutes. That's the first red flag to question the entire story when they say be afraid of it.
Right. I remember reading about this sort of thing back in, I don't know, probably starting in the 80s and going into the 90s when I first started to become aware and awake of, you know, what's going on. And yes, they're playing with our emotions constantly. As many authors have said, that many of the programs and ideas and so forth that they put out there do not withstand any kind of real intellectual or logical scrutiny or scientific rigor. It's just all based upon their weird fantasies, and it's all about you know, paying homage to them, right? Giving them authority that they don't really possess, and also being afraid of what they what they say portends for our future. You know, they want to control our minds and our emotions because they really can't control anything else. But you know what? And the evidence is they don't really need to at this point. They are indeed controlling the vast majority of people's minds and emotions. But the percentages are going down, I believe, and I think that bodes well for the possibility of what we could do here in the near future.
Stephen?
Sorry, the screen is sticky. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what to add to that, but I agree with y'all, and it's accelerating too, what's been going on. I've noticed that things seem to really be ramping up towards some kind of event between the last June and July to something. I don't know what, but something.
And, you know, and quickly, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt on you there. But interject on this term acceleration, which I really, I've heard a lot of people talk about this, and it's true, okay? They perceptively, they are. In actuality, I think it's both accelerating and also increasingly failing. Many of the things are starting to fall apart. As we all know, the whole COVID narrative has fallen apart. I don't really think they're going to try, but I don't really think they're going to be able to pull off any more virus scares. And the vaccine thing fell apart. So things are, quote-unquote, accelerating, but they're also at the same time falling apart, I believe. And,
well,
and they'll continue to do that.
The way I would put it is that the starkness of their facade is becoming more and more apparent and less ignorable by the masses and were taken in before. Even if they don't see the whole facade for what it is, they see something's wrong. There's a shadow back there or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And more and more people are open to hearing the word that we use all the time to describe these people. I mean, it's real in my life. My perception is real, that the people that I talk about with these terms, they're more open to it than they want to.
Joe?
You know,
William, please.
I was just going to quickly mention, we can take their articles that they write, because they always flip the truth over about everything. And you can read the article, remove the word anti from Semitism, and then also remove the word white from supremacy and replace it with the word Jewish. If you do that, in just about every article they write, you'll have, you can use their language, which they use. They use language very effectively to say nothing and invert the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, just Richard, one last thing then is, so in some ways, I can see AI is like a digital Tower of Babel. So what did the Jews do? They built this Tower of Babel to try and, you know, be better than God, right? To replace God with their own God, right? That's the Tower of Babel. They're going to reach all the way up to the heavens and be right. And this is what AI is. It's supposed to be, you know, Yuval Harari and the other self-appointed leaders of this Jewish cult are telling us, oh, this is the new God, right? Be afraid because he's smarter than you or it's smarter than you and go along with whatever it tells you. And I think Paul's right. There's going to be a lot of people that actually do that because they'll believe, or maybe because they don't have faith and they don't believe in the real God, that this is like the digital Tower of Babel. It's like, oh, here's the God. You know, he's smarter than you, so you have to obey him. As they plunge headlong into hell.
That's a great analogy. You know, these people do have already a quote-unquote religion where they're trying to create an AI God. I guess maybe it seems like 5 years ago that I saw stories about that pre-COVID psyop. Out in Silicon Valley, someone was talking about it, and I don't remember the person's, Kurzweil probably, I don't know who else might have been talking, but it was a, you know, technocrat that AI would be the new God. And I don't know what they called the religion or any other of the precepts. That just in and of itself was what I remember.
Okay, well, thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, everybody. Great panel.
Appreciate it. And yes, it's all about the presentation with AI and the science fiction films, prepping people for generations now to assume that a human creation will be able to have this. I don't know. I think originally they were talking about something else when they talk about silicon rather than carbon-based. They were just looking at the periodic table and how it could just as easily spawn from silicon, not really even talking about, you know, computer chip silicon. Am I not correct, Stephen or Paul?
Well, I was going to say, not to derail this panel because we got no time left in the show, but there is evidence of prior silicon-based life on this planet. So just that's an interesting
right.
note. I'll leave it at
right.
that. Yeah.
Yes, so that confirms what I'm saying, that it's talking about naturally manifesting, just using silicon in place of carbon from the periodic table. They're right next to each other, as opposed to referring to machine-based with silicon chips. I'm sorry, who else was going to add something?
Richard, it's William here. Yeah, I if that's all right with you, I'd like to pivot back to what Paul was bringing up in the beginning of the show. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, so... I did a little research here, and I found, you know, I was looking up this in Santa Clara, and I came across this politician, Maya Esparza, and I saw it. She looks very like Sephardic Jewy to me. I don't know if that's true or not, but evidently she had a nephew that was, let me just read what it says. But my basic point is that these people don't represent us. They represent their race. They're very racist. They represent the Mexicans and Latin people. They could care a hoot about the white people whatsoever. And so conveniently, I guess she had a nephew that was killed in the shooting that took place that the kid went and shot people up at the Gilroy Festival in 2020 at the Garlic Festival. They don't give a lick about the fact that they're overwhelming our borders. And I mean, this is like even before what happened with Joe Biden, they were already, and it's just getting out of control. And so you're going to have people that are mentally unhinged doing things like this. I don't promote that at all. I think it's horrible what happened, but you're not addressing, they're not going to address the fact that mass immigration to displace us is a problem, and they couldn't give a hoot about it. And so conveniently, if you read the language of this article, You know, Maya grew up in San Jose, lifetime commitment, fighting for the community and solving problems. Well, not my community. The daughters of teachers of San Jose, her family instilled in her importance of education, blah, 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 nonprofits. And then the other article about, like, white supremacy. And then having – it's not that the one guy had a gun. It was the community of violence. Oh, here we go. We're going to segue into taking guns away from everybody and removing the Second Amendment. So I see this woman as a Jew, and, you know, she's Hispanic Jew, in my opinion, because she's just trying to take the guns away from Whitey, and she has a real excuse to do it.
So. Paul?
And I think I think William would concur with me as being a longtime resident of the Bay Area that – they've been putting these stories in the newspapers here, San Jose Mercury, San Francisco Chronicle, et cetera, all these Bay Area newspapers. And it's what I call the human interest or the feel good about the immigrants or the feel sorry and bad for the sob story of how bad it was in their country when they come here. And I swear to God, they were probably putting one or two a week in the San Jose Mercury News for years and years and years. And always have a picture of a non-white, like a Hispanic or Asian, and some story about the horrors they went through in their country and how great it is that they're now here, the new American. And it's just like I said, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these sob stories, including one. I have a Spanish newspaper article. I mean, it's, you got to see it. It's a little boy crying. Okay? It's like a 10-year-old boy crying. And the Spanish language headline is the promise is now gone. You know, the promised land, right? So my Spanish is a little bit, you know, butchery, shall we say, but I can read enough to understand what they're trying to say. Is it like something to do with our immigration laws and deportation and the promised land is now taken away and it shows this little boy crying? It's just like this is our ruling masters that are doing this to us.
Stephen, we only have about a minute left. Do you want to add to that?
Man, it's been an amazing thing to watch. I was in a country that was 90% white here when I was a kid, and now I'm a minority. And, you know, it's when I look at it that way, I feel overwhelmed and surrounded. But I mean, I don't hate people, man. You know, it's not the people, it's the stuff that some they bring and that they do that's so different. And what was wrong with us the way we were, you know? I was going to say, on top of all of that, then add to it the lies they give the South and have been in movies everywhere, in the myths they talk about us. It's just, it's not, it's I have that, we have that on top of it too.
Well, you'll be back tomorrow with Thought Crime Live. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, William.
Thank you. See you at the Punch Bowl.
That's right. Check out the Punch Bowl. Thank you, Paul. That's right. Check out the Punch Bowl. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Please support the station to keep all this free speech alive, and we will speak again soon. Have a great weekend, and transcend the construct. Regards.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.